Okay, so could I first of all say good morning to you. Thank you for your invitation today. I have preached at Kendal Road before, but it was in the evening. I don't think I've ever preached here on a Sunday. Well, I've never preached here on a Sunday morning, so I'm sure most of the people here don't know who I am. And so my name is Colin Pavitt. I originally come from Dorset in the Bournemouth area, and by profession, I used to be a builder. And so I used to have my own building company. In 1985, I felt that God was calling me to work for the BMS. And I have to say, I went off, it was then the BMS was based in London, in Gloucester Road. And very much to my surprise, after I went over the lots of interviews, very much to my surprise, they accepted me to go and work. And I went to go and work in a place called Angola. And I always say to people, I went as a missionary single and came back married, so that can't be too bad. I met my wife, Marcia, while I was working in Angola, so obviously it's a great time working there. But I have to say, Angola is a very, very difficult country to live in and to work in. When we were living in there in the 1980s, it was a communist Marxist regime where they don't believe in God and were trying to eliminate the church where we were there. And that was very hard to work within the church in that circumstance. Also, Angola, you've probably seen on the news that Angola has the highest number of people who have lost their legs due to mines in the world. And while we were there to see literally thousands and thousands of young men who were struggling to, well, had no legs, it was really dreadful and horrific to see that. And it really was quite a difficult time when we lived in Angola. So I worked in BMS, first of all, 4 years in Angola, and then we spent 8 years church planting in Brazil. There's my wife, Marcia. And very, very different to working in Angola. Angola is a very hard place to work, whereas Brazil was a fantastic place to work. And you can see that's the most famous picture, the statue of Christ in Rio. We actually worked in the south of the country near Argentina and Uruguay. I'm going to get into real trouble showing my next slide. Real trouble. This is my wife when she was 60 a few months ago. She won't want me to show you that. We have two kids. This is my daughter, Mim. If it works, there's my daughter, Mim, and her partner, Joe. And my son, Dan, and his wife, Gabby. And I said to my son, whatever you do, don't marry a Brazilian girl. What did he do? Married a Brazilian girl. I'm only joking now, Brazilian people. It's quite romantic. They actually knew each other when they were in Sunday school. She was actually part of our church when we were church planting in the south of Brazil, and I baptized her mum. And if you don't know, it's possible, they actually got married on Skype. That's actually possible. They got married. So in 2002, we arrived in Gloucester in Brunswick Baptist Church. And I remember talking to the deacons and the leaders of the church and said to them that, well, we'll commit ourselves to work with you for 5 years. 17 years later, we're still here. 17 years. And I've actually told the church we're going to stay until I retire. So they know where they're standing. And for preparing today, I was thinking to myself, why is it that we've actually stayed in Gloucester and Brunswick for so many years? 17 years is quite a long time, isn't it, really? And I think there are a number of reasons why we stayed here all this time. First of all, after we'd been here for a couple of years, my mum and dad moved to Gloucester, and they became part of the church. They were in the congregation. It's very different when your mum and dad are in the congregation because they know all about you, you see. It's very, very, very challenging. And both my mum and dad are dead now, but they were here for a number of years. And the second reason I think we've stayed here for such a long time is because we do believe that this is God's will. And I think as Christians, whatever we do, we should be committing our lives and our future to God. So we believe this is God's will for us. And the third reason why I think we've stayed for such a long time is that Brunswick Baptist Church has actually become a mission field. When we arrived, the church was very white, middle-class people. There weren't many people from around the world. But today, we have people from more than 25 different nationalities. And it's really, the mission field has come to us in many ways. It's just fantastic. I believe that Rita spoke to you, was it a week ago, a week last Saturday? Just some sad news. I don't know if you've heard what happened, but Rita's mum died yesterday. And so Rita's going to Lithuania tomorrow to go to the funeral service. But I'm sure when Rita was here last week, she told you all about World Cafe. And World Cafe really is quite amazing. For those people who have never been, come along one Wednesday. We have two World Cafes a month when we serve food. Different people cook, like the Syrians or the Iranians or the Iraqis. They cook the food for us, and then we share food together. And it really is quite amazing. We get probably between 80 to 100 people come. And what is fascinating is that perhaps about 60%, more than 50% of the people who come are Muslims. What a fantastic opportunity for us. Amazing opportunity for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. And I'm sure one of the things that Rita told you last week is one of the things I think World Cafe is doing so well is we've got a good team of people. We have a lovely lady called Steph who teaches English on Mondays and Tuesdays. That's her with the blonde hair next to the whiteboard. We have another lady called Claire who teaches English on a Monday evening and a Friday evening. We have a lovely lady called Agnes from Switzerland, and she works very much with the ladies and the Muslim ladies. She helps with them. And I'm going to show you a picture here, and this is quite emotional to me, this picture, because these are a group of Syrians. And, you know, we've heard in the news about how the life in Syria has been so drastic, so difficult. And here are a group of people that they've come to Britain, and they're in Britain, and they're free. They're free to eat, to worship, to dance, to sing. And this was them singing and dancing. And it really is a moving picture. When it comes to World Cafe, obviously I help on a Wednesdays. But my main job is I do Bible study with the guys. So every Thursday morning from 9:30 onwards, I do Bible study with people from Afghanistan, Iran, Jordan, Kurdistan, Syria, lots of different people I do Bible study with. This is a guy called Behzad, who's an Iranian. And I could tell you many stories about these guys, because it's really fascinating to work with these people and see them become Christians. Just to tell you one story, the guy with the pink shirt is called Cameron. And Cameron, he came along to our Bible study for quite a bit of time. But then we get to the point, you get to the point when you've got to make a decision one way or the other, haven't you? Are you for Jesus or not? And Cameron at that particular point, he was sort of not sure. And he disappeared for a bit. And at that particular time, he was saving up. He's a refugee. He was saving up for to buy himself a phone. Got a bit of money, from the government, from gifts from people. And if you're an asylum seeker refugee, you're not able to open a bank account, which meant he put all his money under his mattress. And one day he came to me, and he was really distraught. And he said, Colin, somebody's stolen all my money from under the mattress. And he was devastated about this. He really was. And I remember that particular day, and I just felt that God was saying to me to pray for a miracle. So we met in my office, and we prayed in the name of Jesus. May that man bring that money back. And a week later, he came to me, and he said, look, he's brought the money back. He's apologized, and I've had to forgive him. And that was a turning point in his life. He realized that God wasn't just the God of the pages of the Bible, that God wasn't just a story, that God was somebody that you could meet, a personal relationship with God, and that made a big difference in Cameron's life. When I arrived at Brunswick in 2002, the church at that time had a vision. And the vision was to, and I believe it was really directed by God, the vision from the deacons at that time. And the vision was to use our building, our facilities, our location and people to reach out into the city of Gloucester. It's a vision that's excited me ever since I've been there, and it continues to excite me. That vision as people to reach out into our city and our community. So this morning I'd like to talk about being salt and light. That's what we are called to do, to be the salt and light in our communities, in our city. Before we read God's word, it's always important to recognize the context in which it's written. I'm sure you know very well that chapter 5 to 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus went up the mountain to talk, and he gathered people around and he talked about the kingdom of God. And at the beginning of chapter 5, the first 12 verses, I'm sure you know, we refer to this as the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes could be divided into two sections. I'm sure you know all this, but the first four Beatitudes about a Christian's relationship with God. And the second four Beatitudes are about a Christian's relationship with others. And so we get to our reading, which is in Matthew chapter 5. And it's the following part of the story. And it's about the Christian's relationship with the world around us. So let's read God's word. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's pray together. Father God, as we read those challenging words, we pray that you may use them to speak to us this morning. Help us to discover and think about how we can be salt and light in our communities, in our city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus very clearly tells us that we are called to be salt and light, to be a healthy and positive influence on our communities, on our city, of those around us. But it's hard, isn't it? It's very hard. It's very hard because the world around us can be a very dark place. In the world, there is evil, there's opposition. And today, if we're honest, people don't think much of the church. The church is considered out of date, irrelevant, backward thinking, not for today. It's hard to be salt and light in our world. I'm sure you also know this, that Israel was called to be the light of the world. But unfortunately, over the centuries, Israel allowed injustice, greed, selfishness to get into their society. And it's as if that their light, which should have been shining, got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And so today, Jesus is calling us, the church, to be the salt and the light in our world. But it's hard. It's very hard to be salt and light in our world today, because at the same time that we are trying to influence our world in a very positive and a good way, the world is trying to influence us. Trying to influence us in a very different way. I'm sure you've seen on the television this week this young lady, Sharmeena Begum. And obviously it's something that we are horrified by. We are shocked by the fact that a 15-year-old girl can actually go overseas to Syria and to marry a IS fighter. It's something that is, we just find shocking. It's just awful. But at the same time, I've been quite shocked by the Home Office this week. I'm sure you've also been shocked by the way in which the Home Office have reacted towards her. Taking away their plan is to take away her citizenship. Every human being is entitled to be a citizen of a nation. She has no other citizenship. Whether we approve of what she's done or disapprove of what she's done, she is a human being, and it'd be wrong to take her citizenship away. And at times like this, I'm reminded, I'm sure you know, a challenging verse in the Bible. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "Do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with a blessing." I know it's hard, but I believe that she needs to come back to this country and be tried before a court of law. We are called to be salt and light in this world, which means bringing God's justice, bringing God's love, bringing God's mercy, not just for a few, but for everyone, whether we agree with them or disagree with them, whether they're part of our church or not. There's an interesting proverb, an old proverb. Things are not. Here we go. An old English proverb that makes me smile. It says, "You can bring a pig into the parlor, but it doesn't change the pig. But it certainly changes the parlor." We are called to be like the pig. We are called to be like the pig, to change and influence our society, our community around us in a very positive way. That's our calling. To be the pig in the parlor, to be the pig in our community, to change our society, to change our world around us. At the time that Jesus was preaching, there was a group of Jewish people called the Essenes. They probably have heard of them, and they were the group of people who had the Dead Sea Scrolls. And these group of people, they believed that the world was so wicked that they had to hide away from the world, and they lived in these caves. And they were right, the world was wicked, is wicked. The ironical part about it, that these Essenes, is they actually refer to themselves as the sons of light. But they didn't shine out to the world. I suppose the best we can say is they shone for themselves. And isn't that the danger for us as Christians? We're good at shining out in our own community, within our own church, our own congregation. God is calling us to shine out and be the salt and light in the world, in our community, in our city. We are the salt and the light, called to change and influence our society, our community. Now, when Jesus was growing up, I'm sure that he watched his mum doing lots of cooking and preparing the food. And I'm sure Mary used lots of salt in her cooking and preparing her food. And she used the salt to make the food taste that just a bit better. But she also used the salt to preserve the meat, to stop the meat from going rather rotten. So she would put on the salt and pour on the salt to stop the meat from going rotten. And Jesus is saying to us, explaining to us, that as Christians, we're to be rubbed in to our society. We're to be rubbed in to our community, to prevent our society from going rotten. Now, John Stott, in his commentary on this passage, he says, and he refers to Christians, he says, Christians are very good at throwing up their hands in horror and disbelief. Oh, our world today, oh, oh, too much sex, drugs, oh, oh. He says, John Stott says, we're very good as Christians at throwing up our hands in horror at the things we see. John Stott says what we should be doing and saying is, where is the salt? Where is the salt? We're called to be salt and light in our community. And as we influence and shine out for Jesus, people should, they see our deeds and they glorify God. Now, I'm one of these people who do like to be very practical in my preaching, and so I'm just going to ask, how does this work out in practice? What do we need to do being salt and light in our world? And I have three things. First of all, we need to recognize the needs around us. The longer I've been a church minister, the more I recognize that there are tremendous needs in our communities and our society. There's so many people struggling with life, so many people struggling with ill health, with mental problems, so many people being divorced, so many people struggling just to cope, paying the bill, all sorts of things. There's so many needs around us. One of the things which is really we found in the last 3 years at Brunswick is the number of people who have been sleeping rough. About 3 years ago, started the first person sleeping rough in our car park. And over a period of time, there's one person, then another person. They got to three people and a dog at one point sleeping in our car park. And we've been working with an organization called P3. It's set up by the council. And we've been working with those people about how to deal with homelessness in the city center and how to deal with people who often are sleeping in our car park, which is very challenging. The needs, recognize the needs, are not difficult. We just have to look around us. There are so many needs and so many problems within our community today. The second thing is we need to prayerfully consider how to respond. It is easy just to jump in and, do this or do that. We need to be seeking God. We need to be prayerfully considering how God wants us to react in that situation. Because one of the things I've discovered over the years, and in some ways I call myself more of a social worker than actually a church minister, is that the needs, and probably 90% of the needs are spiritual. People need Jesus. They need Jesus. And thirdly, thirdly, we need to have a go. We need to have a go. Don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid of having a go at something that hasn't worked properly. Just have a go. This picture here I'm going to show now. This is a picture of some student accommodation in Lady Belgate Street, very near our church. So the council built, or the university built, 400 flats for students. And as these students' flats were being built, this is about 100 yards from our church. We all thought in our church, wow, this is our mission field, isn't it? This is what God is calling us to do something there. And so last September, when the students were moving in, we contacted the university and said, we'd like to help the students move in. We'd like to be very nice to them, all that. And the university was very, very pleased because they don't have any parking and we have a car park. And so the mums and dads were able to park in our car park, and we got some trolleys, and we wheeled the students' bags and stuff over to their flats to move in. It's quite interesting, actually. Some students, had a couple of holdalls. Other students came with transit van full of stuff. It was very fascinating. And we helped them move in, and we did a barbecue, and we did food and things. And 6 months on, we look back to see how it's gone. How many students are those 400 are now attending our church? Well, unfortunately, none. And that could be quite disappointing, but I think there are two things which are positive. First of all, I think we never know the big picture, do we? We are called to serve and, as I said, to be salt and light in our community. But the second thing is, while the students were moving in, we opened the church up to give tea and coffee, cake and sandwiches to the mums and dads. And so I was talking to the mums and dads, and they were in our church hall. And I said to them, nice to meet you. You know, my name's Colin. And I said to them, you know, where's your son? What's your son or daughter studying? Oh, nursing or farming or whatever. And I have this conversation with lots of people. And then I spoke to this other guy who was sitting. I said, where's your son or daughter? You know, what they studying? And he looked at me. No. It turned out he'd just come off the street and he'd seen everyone eating sandwiches and tea and cake and don't know who he was. So I gave him a leaflet and I told him to come to church the following day, and he's been to church ever since. Can you imagine that? That's amazing, isn't it? And he's starting on our Alpha course this evening. We never know. We never know God's plans. So I do say to you, recognize the needs. The needs are enormous. Prayerfully consider how we to respond. But have a go. It may not work, but you don't know. Have a go. Just one more story before we close. I love looking at the moon, particularly the full moon. And in my back garden, when there's a full moon, it sort of lights up my back garden because there's no sort of street lights there. And then it lights my back garden, looks fantastic when there's a full moon. But as you and I know, we all know that the light that comes from the moon is not actually from the moon, is it? The light that is from the moon shining in my back garden is actually from the sun. The sun shines on the moon then reflects the sunlight, the light to my back garden. And I think as Christians we should be like the moon. Yeah. We're reflecting the sun, not the yellow thing in the sky. But the Son of the living God, we're reflecting his glory, his majesty, we're reflecting his love, his grace in our world around us. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. May God help us to be just that. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, thank you for your word, which so clearly tells us what we need to do, how we need to act and become. Father God, we said right at the very beginning, it's very, very hard to be the salt and the light in our world because we're going in a totally different direction to our world. But we pray in the name of Jesus that you may help us to be that, to be what you are wanting us to be. Help us to be salty. Help us to be light, to shine out for you in our community, in our city. And we pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.